Welcome to Creating Flow, the podcast where I, Joni Francisco, hope to empower women, helpers, and healers to unblock their energy and unlock their power. We're tackling the tough reality that many in the healing professions often sacrifice their well-being in the pursuit of helping others. Not only do I believe this is just plain wrong, it ends up draining their vitality and diminishing their ability to serve. I've experienced this struggle firsthand and emerged with insights and strategies to break this cycle. That's why each week we explore the practical methods not only to replenish your energy, but also to cultivate abundance in your life. You'll gain actionable steps to fill your cup first, ensuring you can overflow with energy and serve others without burning out. And today I ask you and invite you to ponder, are you leading your life or is your life leading you? And with that, on the show today, I have the brilliant Debbie Heiser, the owner and chief igniter at The Lit Up Life, where she helps people make a lot of money doing what they love without sacrificing what they value most. Debbie not only has the corporate and entrepreneurial skills, she also models beautifully in her own life how to live a lit up life. Here in the Pacific Northwest, ski season is peaking really late, and short of joining her for an episode on the lift, we got to squeeze in some time to jam on some of our favorite topics. Like many of our conversations, we explore the relationship of universal law, permission, and inspiration in leading a life that lights you up. But first, if you like what you hear today, then I would highly suggest you joining the Abundance and Flow community on School. Not only are there free, awesome AF trainings in there, we are building a community of other helpers and healers ready to have more abundance and flow in their lives. Let's journey together towards freedom in life, health, and business. The link to join is in the show notes, and I hope to see you there. Welcome, Debbie Heiser, to Creating Flow. And I'm so excited to have you on the show today to talk about leading your life. I think you were one of the best mentors for this, and you can see it in the life that you live. And so I'd love for you to just start off in what it means to you to lead your life and not have your life or your business lead you.
Yeah, that's a big question. And thank you for having me today. Nothing like starting bang out of the box here, Joni. So for me, leading your lit up life is about figuring out what you want your life to look like, because each person is different. And that's where comparison sometimes comes into play. And when comparison comes in, then you're not being true to your own authentic. It doesn't mean you can't look to other people to say, oh, I want something like that in my life, and use them as kind of a mentor or a model to that. But it's really about looking at all of the different avenues in your life and figuring out kind of what's really important to you and making sure to kind of weigh that out. I don't use the word balance because I think that's a setup for failure, but that there's a harmony between that. You know, there are times that my personal life asks for a little bit more time per se, right? Or a little bit more focus. And other times my business does, and other times relationships do. And so it's about having that harmony and not falling into guilt or shame for doing what you want. And the second piece of that is once you've identified what you want, like I love to travel. So I've built some things in my business around travel, and that helps me make those decisions based on that desire to travel. So it's very personalized. It's very much about thinking about what you want. And those things can change over time as well. And train really hard not to compare yourself to other people when you're looking at what it is you want. And also, not only the comparison, but not falling into that trap of being who you think you should be based on what other people think you should be.
Yeah, I love that. I love that idea of that harmony, or of course, flow, because I'm all about creating the flow. But also the idea of balance, I think, does put us in that shoulds and couldos. And so having a more fluid idea of energy and how it works, right? It ebbs and flows as we go through life in many areas throughout our day, or even through the minutes of the day. And what I really hear in there about the uniqueness is that to be clear, like the invitation for people to be clear on what their desire is and what, as you are the chief igniter, but what lights them up, right? Like what does bring them that joy or whatever the feeling is they want to feel in their life seems pretty important to be able to actually lead it.
Yeah, and I think there's also this idea of energy flow and harmony too, in the respect that I can be clear about what I want in my life and have this vivid vision about what I want my life to look like, what I want my business to look like in 3 years, but also not being so tied to the outcome, the way I think it should go, that I choke it, right? Like there's the joke about, regardless of what you believe, this is just, you know, the context of what the joke is about, where a man is drowning in the ocean and he's at the pearly gates and saying, why didn't you save me? And they're like, you mean the inner tube we sent you and the boat that we sent you? But it wasn't what he thought should happen in order for him to be saved from drowning, right? So we can get into this mode of being so tied to the outcome versus being open to what's coming. You know, abundance comes in many different ways. It's not just the actual cash that's there. And so when we open up our heart to receiving abundance in many different ways, it comes in. And I know you and I both have had evidence that I say use as an evidence bank, right? Where there was a certain amount of money that I was manifesting 1 month and it didn't necessarily come all through clients, but it came in the back door. Or I got a check in the mail from a family member for a certain amount of money. And it was like, whoa, okay. I would have never been open to seeing that as abundance. And I don't even know if the check would have come, right? Like, had I not been open to that coming in a different way than what I was originally thinking? Because we can put these blinders on almost like a horse, and then we lose sight of all of those things, you know, because in the absence of searching for abundance is where we find abundance.
Yeah. And the short of that I get is really the intention, right? Like, so you have the desire and then we have to live that intention of that desire, but allowing for the something greater requires us to open the container to how it's being done could be simpler or bigger than we could ever imagine. And when we think about that for our life, I think that really means how you were talking about before, shedding those thoughts of that aren't ours, right? Things that we've adopted through life, things, experiences we've seen, and choosing really that we get to live the life that we want to. And that being said, what are some of the signs or things that you tend to see in people when they're not leading their life, when their life's leading them or their business is leading them? What are some things, some of the complaints and pain points you see?
Yeah, usually, like as rough as this might sound, usually I find too that people aren't, and I do this too, right? Like people aren't taking 100% responsibility for their own life, right? And it falls then into this drama triangle or victim triangle, whatever you want to say. And whenever we are looking at blaming other people or circumstances for what's happening to us, then that is in a victim mentality and not taking 100% responsibility, because we co-create our lives. And for many people, that is such a big shift in how they think that once they accept that, one of two things happens. One is they dive in and they are like, yeah, let's co-create this. Let's go, right? And then the other like side of that is that people get really scared because it's not familiar. It's not what they're used to doing. And so, you know, like I run into that. I have some people in my life that I just came to some realization around that when things are going smoothly, they don't know how to operate. And so they create chaos. So instead of creating flow and having things flow, they're so used to the patterns that they've had that they go back to those patterns because it's what's familiar. So one of two things happen. People are like, yeah, let's co-create. I want to go forward with this. It doesn't mean that they don't have some fear, but fear and excitement feel the same way in your body. It's just a choice. But other people succumb to the fear and go back to, it's a terror barrier, right? They go back to what's familiar to them. And it's not a judgment, but it's what I look at is then how quickly can people bounce back, right? And let go of that fear and say, okay, let's go ahead and like, I accept that I can co-create. Because sometimes too, I don't know if you run into this, Joni, but I have people in my life that sometimes too, it's so hard for them to accept responsibility because then they have to look at and say, how am I vibrating? How am I showing up in the world? And there's some accountability there. And sometimes people don't like that.
Yeah. And then again, if we're talking about that 100% responsibility, like they have to look at those causes that they're putting in, that they're getting the effect of the life that they're not really loving. Some things that maybe just bring it down, even like break it up a little more for people listening about, because I understand the responsibility and what victim looks like, but I'm not sure everybody does. So like one thing I see a lot is overwhelm, or they're stuck in the busy work, or they're just like cruising through life, making those choices that aren't really like they're making a choice by not making a choice, right? Is there any other like real specific things that people could, if they were wondering, you know, like, am I leading my life, that would pop up and be a question that they had? Is there anything besides those that you see?
Yeah, actually, anywhere that in your life that you're saying, I don't have what I want, or I'm dissatisfied with this, that's a growth edge. That's just showing up, that's the universe showing us where we have growth potential. And if there's not something that you like, and so I use a series of three questions with my clients, like, what frustrates you? What, I don't know why the second one is leaving my brain. What do you complain about? And the third one is, what do you tolerate? And that one's sometimes tough for people. But anything that you can list there says to me that you're out of alignment, because the opposite of that is usually what you want, right? And so if you can complain about something, or you're finding that you're frustrated with something, we usually don't think in the verbiage of tolerate. But if you can come up with something like that for anything in your life, that shows a growth edge. That shows where you're dissatisfied with something. And so then turning that on its, like flipping that coin, that law of polarity, then the opposite of that is usually what you want. So then what would it take to do that? So it's inspired action, not just action.
Yeah, I love that inspired action. And I love the tolerance piece. And I think there's a fine dance that we do there between being grateful for what we have and being in tolerance, right? And it feels different when you sit down and get intentional with yourself and honest and give yourself permission to be like super curious, right? That's always what I try to have clients that I'm working with is like, be curious. Kind of sometimes you have them put on the love bubble, stand outside, look from a different perspective, so that again, it's not the right or wrong or anything like that. It's just the way it is. And now you get to make the choice, you get to take responsibility. And then the next piece I feel like is really permission, right? Giving yourself permission to move forward in the life that you desire, and making those choices that are in alignment with that, right? And I know you use an example about skiing, right? So maybe you can just explain how a story that always pops in my mind for you is about your restructuring your day, right? So that you could ski.
Yeah. And I want to back up for a second, because I think it's also important, because I think we live in a world that slides over the emotion. And when we are frustrated or we're complaining, there's usually some emotion involved in that. And I'm not saying sit in that emotion for months on end. I'm not even saying sit in that for weeks on end. But I think there is something to be said for being able to purge that, because I know I struggle even sometimes, like, owning that I'm in a victim role, and that it's okay for me to like spout out some things that I'm feeling without trying to fix it right away, right? And so I think it's important for people to do that. And then I think it's important to identify what's the real message. You know, like for me, and you know this, I've talked to you about a specific relationship in my life. To me, it reverts back to a core wound that I'm not lovable, right? Like, it takes time to get to what that core wound is. So then anytime something happens that I interpret that I'm not lovable, it triggers me. But then it's a matter of identifying what those triggers are, letting go of taking it personally, and separating that and identifying those things and taking then responsibility for how I'm showing up in that relationship, because I can't control how they show up in that relationship, right? And I know you're giggling because we just talked about this yesterday. But the point being is, like, those things, and it takes time. So you got to sit in it sometimes to get to that point. And the messages that we have in our head, and I think this is where you were going with the skiing, so correct me if this is not the story you're looking for, because I tell a lot of stories and so I forget which ones. But we get these messages in our head based on society, based on how we grew up, based on all sorts of things. And it doesn't mean those people were wrong for sharing that information with us, But I grew up in corporate America. I worked an 8-to-5. Is this the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
About changing my schedule. Yeah. And I worked in an 8-to-5 Monday through Friday environment. And frankly, when you're a leader, it's not 8-to-5. It was a heck of a lot longer than that. But the point being is like, we have this routine, right? And I almost think of the Pink Floyd video about we don't need no education, right? Like we're showing up with like just going through the motions, right? And it's not that corporate's bad, but that it's like, you just show up. This is what you do. You work those hours. You go home. You live for the weekend. You live for the evenings. And half the time you're so tired by the time you get home in the evening that you live for the weekend. And that just doesn't work for me, right? But it took me some time after getting out of that environment to realize, oh, wait a minute. I can ski Monday, Wednesday, and Friday until noon, and I can put on one of my really cool little fedora hats and to cover up the helmet head, and I can go about the rest of my day, and I don't even need to work past 5 if I don't want to. But and it's the same thing for the weekend, right? Like I might do some work on a weekend and people are like, oh, you have to work on the weekend. I'm like, yeah, because I literally didn't work Monday, Wednesday, and Friday until noon, right? Like, and I don't have to justify it, but that's how deep those stories are, right? I mean, even to the point where the other day my coach said to me, you know, think about some people that you want to emulate that have kind of this life that you're wanting to live. And it's funny because I shared that with some people and based on their filters, it was like, well, that's what you perceive them to be, right? And I'm like, well, yeah, but that's really what counts. Because what I'm trying to do is change my mindset that I can't have a really successful business and a love relationship at the same time, right? So I came up with some people like Oprah Winfrey, like Kira Sedgwick and Kevin Bacon and Rita Wilson and Tom Hanks. And those people to me show that like this mutual respect and support of each other in the way that they go about doing what they're doing. And what's really happening in their real life, I don't care. What I see is what I want, right? Like, and that's the perception of that versus seeing other people that have pieces of what I want, but they don't have the full spectrum, right? So it's these messages that we have in our head, whether that be skiing and the time that we are working, or whether that be how we approach relationships, how we approach different things in our lives. It's really about uncovering without guilt and shame, but as you talk about curiosity, and I say bend the lens of curiosity and say, oh, isn't that interesting? Let's look at that, right? But not like, oh, I'm so terrible or I'm this or that because I did this. That just it's not helpful, right? But uncovering some of those things. And sometimes they're contracts, you know, whether it be with our parents or people that we really appreciate. Like I had a coach that like phenomenal coach. And honestly, I wouldn't be where I'm at today, but there was definitely a loyalty pact with this person that I couldn't do it on my own without their help. And that's just simply not true, right? And I had to realize that. It wasn't that she was implying that on me. That's how I was interpreting it. And so that's what I mean about those messages that we just have to let go of.
Yeah. And definitely those lenses are brought on, like you mentioned, through experience and contracts and loyalty packs, but also perceived limitations, right? Like you're talking about self-worth. I'm unlovable and I don't belong. Like those are three of the really big ones. And most of us have those things in our life that are keeping us moving towards goals that we are letting that person lead, right? And really, it's usually like our 6 to our 9-year-old self that has made this belief. And we're looking at this world with this lens of a 6 to a 9-year-old, and now they're leading our life. And I think that's where, again, that 100% responsibility, but then that superpower of choice, right? Like, ooh, I'm no longer available for you to lead my life because I have these big goals, desires, aspirations. So let's get clear on what that looks like so that I can actually change, heal, and my lens can now be available. And that's where I think the piece that you're talking about, like who in this world that you know has what you want, is super important. And I find that was really important to me when I was in a mastermind, is just opening up those bubbles, because if you're not around greatness, so to speak, or different kinds of greatness, you might not even realize that it's available for you. And I know you lead a mastermind that's phenomenal. And I'm sure you see that in there too, right? Like there's so much greatness, but then one person will speak and it'll just be like a bubble for another person to be like, wow, oh, well, that could be available for me too. Do you see that in when you're working in groups like that?
I do. And kind of what I'm hearing you say too, and what I'd like to bring up is like, I purposefully put myself in situations where I'm not the smartest person in the room, right? Because I want to learn from them. And I also put myself purposefully into situations that are uncomfortable to me. You know, like recently I took a creative writing and improv class for 2 days. I mean, I was self-talking myself the whole 90-minute drive, you know, about the improv piece and like, okay, I just need to let go and like just show up because you can't think about what you're going to say, right? Like you can't pre-plan that. And I like some control and I admit that. And those are things that I'm working on to let go of. And that was such a great experience to help me realize, not only because I try to be present and that's what that's about, but also in the idea of controlling something, I can choke it, right? So a little side swing there, but looking at these areas where I'm trying to break through. And the more and more I do things that feel uncomfortable or afraid, the larger that circle of not being afraid becomes, right? And it goes back to, too, there's a really good book called The Year of Yes. And I think about that because in order to lead my lit up life, I've had to not only be clear on what I want, but then realize that if I say yes to everything, I'm not allowing space for the thing that's the real yes, right? And that it's okay to say no. That's why I don't do overwhelm anymore. Now, there's times that I have, because I have a lot of plates in the air, a lot of balls in the air, and I do a lot of things. I have a capacity, a very large capacity, and I understand that about myself. But I also know that when that capacity gets pretty full, there are things, there are tools that I've learned to be able to make sure I'm taking care of myself from like a mental and spiritual and physical way. And I know also then what fills my bucket. So I make the choice to get up in the morning and study for an hour and a half. Like that's a choice that I make. And I do that because it fills my bucket to then be able to go do the work that I'm doing. But I haven't done overwhelm since 2019 or 2018. I've lost track. But it's partially because of now how I look at things. And I'm able to say no to the things that aren't honoring what I want my life to look like. And it's not in a big selfish ego way. It's more of, like you said, I'm available for this. I'm not available for that. And I'm not looking at other people in judgment when they say, hey, this is for me, or make even a comment about, oh, well, you know, I give back to my community because I'm on all these boards. Well, I did that. But right now, that just doesn't work for me, right? Like I'm building a business and I'm putting a lot of energy into that along with relationships. And so like it's about uncovering what those priorities are for you to be able to step into those heck yeses, right?
Yeah. And the what lights you up, because as we both believe, and whether other people believe it or not, it is true that the more we do to light ourselves up, first of all, just like physiologically, we have more energy, we show up in better health, we have more capacity, like you're saying, to hold space for a lot more things and not fall into the overwhelm. But also, like, that's how we're compensated, right? Is this, like, the more we could show up in our true authentic self and the things and follow our desires, because they are given to us through source, I believe, you know? And so as we follow our desire and our purpose, we are going to be more authentic and our energy is going to be able to come through more. I do find that, again, we were talking about, that's one of the signs, right, of people not leading a lit up life, is that feeling like the bathtub drain is always open and it could never get any water. And that's really one of the big reasons that I'm doing the work I'm doing, is because as I see other helpers and healers in that space, I just think it's wrong, because it doesn't have to be that way. But also they're not being able to show up in their full self and share their full magic, right? And so if we can find the ways to plug those drains, but then fill the container, and this is one of your really always shared analogies, is like that overflow, right? Like we're going to get people to overflow out of that base by filling it up with the things that do bring them joy and love and energy. And so that they don't have to pour over and drip out to their last drop. And something that came very clear for me with that too was this idea that if you are draining to your last drop, other people know it. They'll still take that drop because they need it, but it feels much different energetically if they're taking your last drop or your last couple drop versus if you get to show up and overflow to them too.
Yeah. And it takes longer to refill yourself back up. And one of the things that I have found too, Joni, and I would say to your listeners to give yourself a little bit of patience and grace, because a lot of times when I first start working with clients, like if I ask the question, what lights you up? They look at me like a deer in a headlight because it's been so long since, like, if you think about the inner family, so long since they've let that little girl or that little boy out to be creative, to have fun, to like be okay with like something giving them like this massive amount of pleasure and joy. And so sometimes it takes a little bit of time to really dig in and even figure out what those things are that light you up. Like, so if you're listening to this, don't like guilt and shame yourself if you don't know what lights you up, because that's fairly typical. It takes a few months even of me working with people to get to them, get to the point where they know what brings them joy, what fills their vase, right? Or their cup, so that they can produce overflow.
Yeah. And when you're tired, and when you're that tired, and you're basically in survival, so you're not really thinking about even what fills your cup. You're just thinking about how to get through the next moment and the next moment and the next moment. And I think we've covered like being curious, getting clear on your desire, giving yourself permission, and as strategies for people when they're starting to wonder if they can come out of this like place where their life is leading them or their business is leading them. And then what are some other like real practical, maybe two or three really practical strategies that you can give the listeners so that they can kind of start this process on their own?
Yeah. And when you say this process, I'm thinking you're meaning the process to uncovering what lights you up and then being able to step into that.
Yeah. Go from that place where their business is leading them or their life is leading them into, you know, that transformation of where you get to lead your own life, you make your own schedule, you know, whatever that is for that person. Some people love corporate and they get so much energy from it, and we're glad they're there because we need all those services too. But so in either place, you know, what, like when they're not feeling content or in alignment or they're getting drained, like what are some strategies they can take to kind of start to pull themselves out of that space?
Yeah, I would say the first thing is just become aware, right? Because many times we're not even aware that something's draining us. We're not even aware because we've just gotten into the motion of doing it all the time. So really opening up that awareness. So that's not necessarily like a paper and pen practical, but it's like, look at that from a perspective of self-awareness and just identify it. You don't have to take any action upon it right away, but just identify, like, what's motivated you to say yes when you really wanted to say no? And try to kind of think through that with curiosity. And then the second thing too is when you say yes to something that you wanted to say yes to, what was the same thing? And how did that make you feel in this vibrational energy rising? And just being, notice the feelings that come with that. So that self-awareness piece is huge. Then you can look up anywhere. I use a slightly different version, but you can look up Life Wheel and it's everywhere because a lot of coaches use it. And identify then like two or three areas that you feel like things are going pretty well here. It doesn't mean that there's not some things that maybe I'd like to change, but here's what's going well. And then pick two or three areas. And I'd say start with one or two areas that you are not satisfied with, that you want some change. You feel like maybe sometimes you hit your head up against the wall expecting different results, which is the definition for insanity. But like, and you just can't figure out why you can't seem to move forward or make the choice that you know logically you want to make. Then third, find somebody to help you through that. Because honestly, and I didn't ask you if we could cuss, so I'm going to use some different words here. But when you stand in your own crap long enough, it stops smelling. And so you just don't even see sometimes. You're trying to see it, but you're so close to it, which is why I have a coach and I'm a business coach, right? Because we're so close to those things. So honestly, those are the three things. And I'm not just putting that out there as a plug for you and I, but have somebody help you through that process. A lot, we live in this culture in the Western world where it's all about independence and we think we have to do everything on our own. And that's just not true. People want to help. They want to be able to serve other people. And so allow someone to help you through that. Allow somebody to be your Yoda to Luke Skywalker, right?
Yeah, I can agree more. And definitely the most important part is, you know, you have this beautiful saying and I always mess it up, but it's like when we're in that space, sometimes we have to borrow belief, right? And we have to borrow that belief from the coach or the other person that's helping us through until we can see it for ourselves. But also just the reflection, because you were talking about those blinders earlier, and it really, our subconscious really wants to keep us safe, and it wants to keep us the same. So some people say safe and sane, and I say safe and sane with an M, because it really wants to keep us doing what we know. It would rather be unhappy doing something that it knew and feel safe than to put you out of that comfort, you know, out of your comfort zone. And that's where that also becomes a choice, but being comfortable in the uncomfortable, sort of say, is the place that you're going to change. And it's making the conscious decision and taking the 100% responsibility to put that cause into effect.
Yeah. And in all honesty, I would say safe and insane, right? Like, because I find I like go into some insanity when I'm like staying in that same realm. And so one of the things when you talk about borrow the belief, right? Like, I'm a firm believer. We don't see ourselves the same way other people see us. And you become like the five people you hang out with most. So it's not that you have to sacrifice relationships. That's not what I'm suggesting. But when you know you're in a vulnerable place, think about the five people that you're spending the most time with. Are they building you up when you're in this vulnerable space? When you feel super strong, then maybe you don't need those people as much. And I don't mean that in an egotistical way, but like think about those people that you're around. Like there's a certain family member that I have, my father, that when I'm like really in a place of like growth and I'm really like bending that edge of growth, I don't speak to him as often just because it takes a lot of mental and emotional fortitude with him. It doesn't make him a bad person. He's a lovely man and he was a great father. But I know that enough about myself to take care of myself when it comes to that. And so as people look at that, then being able to borrow that belief. And it was funny because my best friend said to me one time, she's like, I know you can do this. And I was like, I don't know if I can. And she's like, well, you just called me a liar, right? And I was like, oh, yeah. So when somebody says they believe in me, I need to put that in my evidence bank because now some people I don't trust, right? But like the people I trust that are telling me the truth, I need to take that as truth because when I don't, then I'm almost like, giving them the middle finger. And it's really that like really hit me about that. And so I do feel strongly if I don't necessarily have belief in someone, I won't say borrow the belief, but like find people that you can borrow that belief from. And part of that is in a coach that helps you through that.
Yeah, I think a coach, helper, healer, like someone, they can be your friend, but there's the energetic about it is different. And you can feel that, like, I think some of our friends and family's job is to fluff us, right? Like it may be true, but we see it as that a little bit sometimes. Whereas a coach, which, you know, we have coaches that are our friends as well, but it's a hat you wear at a specific time, right? And so then you can work through that and identify and reflect. And the other thing that I find that is super helpful about coaching is the ability for that coach to see what you need most right now. Like there's a million things. Like you talked about the life will, right? There's tons of people have done it. Tons of people did it a different way. And there's a million tools, a million strategies. And the important thing about having someone with direct insight into what you're struggling with and your emotions and your life and the uniqueness of that is they can pick out those two or three things or one thing sometimes if you're really in the overwhelm, right? Like just do this one thing. And really simplify it for you. And so I think that's really one of the advantages also of having a coach versus trying to do it yourself and pick from the millions of things.
Yeah. And Joni, that's a piece of practical advice I would give too, is if you're starting to overcomplicate things, it's usually because you're out of alignment or there's some kind of growth edge there that you're resisting, you know, and another, like it used to be for me that when I was feeling resistance, I would like rearrange furniture or like clean my office when it didn't really need cleaning because I felt like this need to have something organized around me because it felt out of control, right? So those are the types of things, even when I'm talking about self-awareness, to just be aware of, like those patterns. It doesn't make the pattern wrong. It just means, oh, what am I trying to avoid?
Yeah, I love that. I call that busy procrastination. And it happens for so many people. Oh, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. Well, what are you doing? You know, and again, as we grow, we need to invite that help in those places so that we can, again, fill our cup. And we alluded that to that before, and I might just bring that back up because it's really the premise of creating flow is as we grow in as a coach and as we grow in as thought leaders and experiential leaders, like really taking care of yourself is one of the most important things that you can do. And as we're talking about that busy procrastination, and we, there's so such a weird satisfaction that we've grown accustomed to of checking all the boxes, right? And like, oh, look, I did 150 things today. But you never were in that state of being where intuition and restoration and growing your container in the being will actually help you, like I say, slow down to speed up, right? It will allow you to bring your greatness more than doing 1,000 tasks. And so it really, that invitation is there for everybody to really see where you can sink into that nurturing yourself and your soul and your mind and your body to show up in a different way.
And creating that as a non-negotiable, right? Like my team knows, don't reach out to me until after 10 a.m. because I like easing into my morning, right? Hence why I get up between 5 and 5:30 and I study for an hour and a half and then I get ready and I kind of start my day and I have some space and spaciousness to be able to be flexible. And so like once you kind of know some of those things, then they become non-negotiables. When it's ski season, now this season's been a little different because the weather's been kind of wacky, so I have planned a few things. But for me, it's a non-negotiable to schedule anything on a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday until noon because I'm going to go ski and that's what fills my bucket and lasts me then through to summer, right? Until I go kayak or do the other things. And so it's about, which reminds me, I need to go out and put my non-negotiable Friday out for the summer. But, you know, like certain things that you start to understand about your rhythm, right? Like I also know that when I get out in nature, whether that's hiking, whether that's kayaking, like skiing, like that ability to be in nature is filling to me. And so then it's about me taking inspired action and blocking out, because when you have schedules that other people can sign up to be on your calendar, right, it's you have to block that time or it fills up. And so for me, it's about blocking then some of that time to say, this is a non-negotiable. And every quarter, I need to make sure I go do a nature walk. I need to be mindful about that walk, let go of what I need to let go of, let come what's coming. And there's certain things that when I don't do them, I notice it. Just like some people will say, if I don't work out, I just don't feel as good during the day, right? It's the same thing. And so understanding what does fill your bucket. And again, that's like the second or third step, because part of it's just being aware and uncovering what fills your bucket. You know, one of the things that I have clients do a lot when they're like super locked up is I have them finger paint because it allows their little child to come out, right? Or I ask them to do something creative, but it's not the perfectionist creativity. It's like, just get your fingers dirty and get in there, right? Or have a marshmallow fight, something to allow that playfulness to come out.
Yeah, have some fun and be playful. Yeah. And we were talking about having those people around you that you are either looking up to or just have those qualities of the person that you are becoming. And we talked a little bit, you have a mastermind, and your invitation today is really for people to join the Build Her community.
And that's kind of the first step to get to know the work that we do. And then there's things like a mastermind, there's private coaching, group coaching. And you can find all of that on the website. So, yeah.
So, yeah, we'll invite everybody over to that Build Her community. And you'll find that on the button on her website. That'll be linked in the show notes. And is there anything else that you want to share before we sign off here today, Debbie?
Just give yourself some grace, but also look at it as inspired action. But anytime you start to feel guilt and shame, just know that is not your true purpose, right? Like, try to look through the lens of curiosity. Otherwise, you start to lower your vibration, which then we're attracting things we don't want.
Yeah. And I love that. And I'll leave us with this idea of inspiration never tells you what not to do. It tells you what to do. And I love that. And so, yeah, the invitation here is to lead your life and really have the most amazing life that you can dream up, right? And so we will, yeah, so we'll see you next week. And thanks again, Debbie.
Thank you.
So amazing. You've reached the end of another episode of Creating Flow. And I want you to know I appreciate your presence. And to remind you, knowledge is powerful, but taking action is transformative. I invite you to take the next step to activate your full potential today by scheduling a complimentary 15-minute session with me. A no-obligation chat to identify the messages your body is sending you and how I can not only help you understand these messages, but teach you how to heal your body in order to have an abundance of health and energy in your life and business. Visit the link in the show notes to book a call, and I'll see you next week.